Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. It is a Friday on the eve of a huge playoff weekend. Live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1. Four games. Most people believe all four favorites just move to the next round. We will have upsets. It's guaranteed at least one. And Joy Taylor is joining me. Aqib Talib today, among others. Good show plan.
Oh, this is a great show. This is a great weekend. Every game has such an exciting storyline to it.
A lot of star quarterbacks and young star quarterbacks. We start with this. The Jets hired Robert Saleh. The very energetic, bald, intense, good-looking guy, defensive coordinator for the San Francisco 49ers. You know, a lot of times you shake your head, you don't know if it works. He apparently is a very impressive interview, and Joe Douglas, a competent GM, has now hired him. All you need to know about this is the Jets went from an offensive head coach with no personality who struggled to get along with the media and players to a defensive head coach with a big personality and great energy who, they say, gets along with everybody. This was not just about Robert Saleh. This was about going the opposite of Adam Gase. Now, every year we got six or seven openings, and every year one is a complete miss. You know, Freddie Kitchens, Jim Tomsula, Steve Wilks, Matt Patricia, Ben McAdoo wasn't great. They generally all, very early on, I guess I should have noticed this with Adam Gase, they didn't even do well in the opening press conference. They didn't have much of a presence. I like my quarterbacks to be quarterbackial. I like my head coaches to have a presence. You're in a room with alpha males and millionaires. You got to be able to walk in and own the room. Saleh's going to be really good at that part. He's got a big presence. He's pro player, big energy, good-looking, confident guy. I do not think, like Adam Gase, he will butcher the opening press conference. So that's my guess. The Jets should be better. They have now a competent general manager, very good draft last year, a lot of draft picks, could get more. They've got cap space. There's no reason you can't win quickly. The Dolphins and the Cleveland Browns hired the right coach. Overnight, they look like a different team. Takes them about two or three games, and you can turn this puppy around. The Jets have some talent. They are not completely devoid of talent, so I don't think it'll take that long. But here's the interesting thing. This shows you how bad Adam Gase whiffed. According to several NFL people, you've watched them, this network, other networks, the Jets now are leaning toward keeping Sam Darnold. Now think about that. Darnold hasn't done anything in the NFL, regressed badly this year, like 9 touchdowns, 11 picks. Regressed badly. And according to reports, they're like, yeah, we're going to go with Sam Darnold. So Sam Darnold will get another head coach. Now, I do think Darnold's talented, but that tells you how little regard they had for Adam Gase. Generally speaking, new coaches like, this quarterback's not working. Literally, with a very little track record, they're like, we're going to go with Darnold. So this is really an indictment of the previous general manager and the previous coach, what they're doing now. So the Darnold news now can change the entire draft, because if you look at the draft order this morning, the Jets' recent history will tell you they'll get multiple top picks for their current number two pick if they keep Darnold. That's going to be Justin Fields, the quarterback, Ohio State. They're going to get multiple good picks, couple number ones and two. Well, they already got a couple number ones for Jamal Adams, that trade to Seattle. So there's no reason through free agency, a lot of cap space, and draft picks that the Jets won't have 7 to 8 new starters for their next coach. They should succeed. They should succeed to some level. And just look at the draft order. Keep your eye. Atlanta's got a number 4 pick, Matt Ryan. Matt Stafford, number 7, Lions. About time. 8, Carolina. 12, San Francisco. Vikings, 14. Patriots, 15. If you look at the draft order, there are a lot of potential suitors for that number 2 pick the Jets have. I think Saleh should work. I think it's hard to fail when you have 7-8 elite picks and a ton of money. It's hard to fail. And a coach who appears to have a presence and a competent GM. All right, let's shift to this. It's crazy. Kansas City's favored by 10 points over Cleveland. And I understand Andy Reid's off a bye. I get it. But upsets happen a lot more in the divisional round than anybody wants to admit. To great quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers was 15-1, coming off a Super Bowl at home. 9-point favorites. Lambeau, cold, and lost to the New York Giants. Last year, MVP Lamar Jackson, don't want to face him. 14-2 Ravens at home. 10-point favorites over Tennessee. Wasn't that close. They got rolled. Peyton Manning. Remember, he goes to Denver. They're 13-3. Huge favorite at home in Mile High. Hard place to play in January. 9.5-point underdog Joe Flacco walked into town and beat him. 2 years ago, Steelers, 8-point favorite at home over the Jags. They were rusty. They gave Ben some time off. Fell into a huge hole. Lost to Jacksonville. Even Bill Belichick, 2010 New England, 14-2 Patriots. 9.5-point favorite at home. Mark Sanchez and the Jets waltz in and beat him. So we've seen Belichick lose and Peyton Manning lose and Aaron Rodgers lose and Big Ben lose. I'm just saying, Cleveland's also a very fast starting team. They led 10 times at halftime this year, and the Browns went 10-0 in those games. Remember last year, Kansas City came off a bye at home and fell behind. They were rusty. 24-0 to Houston. I do not believe the Cleveland Browns would relinquish a 24-0 lead. Also remember, last year, Kansas City had the aid of a home field advantage. This year, not so much due to COVID. So when I look at these games this weekend, this is the one I understand Andy Reid and a bye. Don't we all kind of suspect Kansas City, kind of a slow-starting team, Cleveland, kind of a fast-starting team, young on a roll? You know, the first quarter, Kansas City may be a tad rusty, haven't played in 20 games as Patrick Mahomes. This is the one, Sunday at 3 Eastern, to me, to keep your eye on. I'm fascinated by it. I just cannot figure out the line. I've said before, Vegas has lines, and it only happens a couple times a year, and I just don't understand them. I do not get them. And my inclination is, I ain't betting it. I'm staying away from that puppy, and that's my advice. Staying away from this game. But I think it's, if Kansas City blows them out, then it changes everything I think about the playoffs. Because I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to be really close.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
So you got 4 playoff games this weekend, and you got 4 favorites and 4 underdogs, a couple of big underdogs. Who will take the hit? Because you know how Mondays are. When a favorite loses, somebody's got to, there's shrapnel. Somebody's got to take a hit. So let's start in all 4 games. Let's start with Green Bay and the Rams. So we know Monday morning, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers at home as a big favorite have lost. Who takes the hit? My guess, it's Aaron Rodgers. We're going to say, dude, this is now 3 home losses in the playoffs. You're now 10-9 in the playoffs, 6-8 since the Super Bowl. You have a top receiver, a top running back, 7 Pro Bowlers. You can't win at home against an injured Jared Goff. Warm weather team that struggles in cold weather. Aaron's going to take the hit. Fair or not, it's going to be, dude, we got you home field. We went out in the free agent market. They've drafted well. Aaron Jones, Davante Adams, these are star players, and you can't win with them. Aaron's going to take the hit on that one. All right, let's say Baltimore upsets Buffalo. It's a very small line, so it's not a huge upset. I like Buffalo to win and cover, but let's say Baltimore wins. I think the critics of Lamar Jackson on Twitter will take a hit. The media hasn't been really critical, but there's a lot of haters out there, and he can't win trailing, and he can't win when he falls behind. He'll be 2-2 in four playoff games. By the way, his touch has gotten better. His passer rating in his career is over 100. He's winning 81% of his games. He just plays differently. But when you're this athletic, you don't have to be, you know, like Phillip Rivers is a good passer. He's the worst athlete, and nobody crushes him. He'll get Hall of Fame votes. This is the best athlete in the NFL in terms of raw speed. He doesn't have to be a great passer. Phillip Rivers can't run and is not always a great passer. And many of you would say he's a Hall of Famer. So I think the critics of Lamar Jackson, a young kid who keeps getting better, but it doesn't look the way quarterback looked for most of our lives, the critics will get hammered. All right, what if Cleveland upsets Kansas City? My takeaway is the media, which always loves stories, the media fell in love, anointed them a dynasty after winning one Super Bowl. And I think the media looks kind of silly with this sort of like Kansas City's just going to reel off 4 and 5 Super Bowls. I do think they're going to be in the Super Bowl picture for 12 years, but dynasties are hard. And the media said Seattle was going to be one and the Niners were going to be one with Harbaugh. And now Kansas City's going to be one. Only one has really been one, and that is New England. That I think the media looks like they get way ahead of the curve on really explosive teams. And if you really look at the last 7-8 games, Kansas City's not playing well. They struggled offensively against Atlanta. Brady ate them alive twice in the last month. And finally, what if the Buccaneers upset the Saints? You know who I think takes the hit? The Patriots. All you had to get him was some pieces, and he's back in a conference championship? You couldn't get him a couple of pieces? I mean, nobody thinks Arians is Belichick. Nobody thinks the ownership group is as good as Robert Kraft. Nobody thinks the home field advantage is as good in Tampa as it is in frigid, cold, windy Foxborough. All Tom needed was a couple of pieces. Boom. He got him. He's in the conference championship against, you know, potentially an Aaron Rodgers-level player. So I think that the Aaron Rodgers would take a hit. The Lamar Jackson critics will take a hit. The media anointing the Kansas City Chiefs as a dynasty after one Super Bowl would take a hit. And I think it's going to make New England look really bad if Tom ends up at 43 years old in the NFC Championship, knowing that Belichick's superior to Bruce Arians. They could just increasingly never get him any elite weapons.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Urban Meyer's the coach at Jacksonville. Now, I think it's going to work. And I don't think it's going to take very long. Now, Urban only lost 9 games in 7 seasons at Ohio State, so he's not used to losing. But here's why I think it's going to work. To the level it works, you know, to me, if he has winning records, if he leaves the NFL with a winning record, then it worked. You don't have to win Super Bowl. I mean, Marv Levy didn't win a Super Bowl. Marv Levy's a great coach. You don't have to win Super Bowls. Can you get to Jason Garrett? Won playoff games, won a division. That's a successful NFL run. Nobody except Belichick lasts anywhere in this league. Andy Reid got fired. Everybody gets fired. Pete Carroll got fired twice. Belichick got fired in Cleveland. So here's why I think it works. College football and the NFL did not even resemble each other in the 50s, 60s, 70s. College football was running wishbones. And then in the 80s and 90s, college football started kind of looking like the NFL. I mean, you watch the games, it's like, okay, you drop back, you pass, you have 3 receivers. Steve Spurrier implemented stuff, you know, and even in the South, it was like, okay, 4 wide. College football and the NFL look very similar now. They look very similar. And I don't think it's going to take that long. I think he doesn't have to change his playbook. He's got to be a little more patient. But Bill O'Brien went from 2-14 to 9-7. That's what he took the Texans. 2-14, he got there, they went 9-7. Fast. Bill O'Brien won his division 4 times. Chip Kelly went 10-6, 10-6 with a quirky college system. He's a better coach than both those guys. Now, I do think the first year is going to be rough. He's learning the NFL, and Trevor Lawrence is a rookie. I think if Jacksonville had a veteran Kirk Cousins, Derek Carr-level quarterback, he would win year one. It's going to be a bumpy first year. There are a lot of skeptics and a lot of cynics. I'm not one of them. I think he's a significantly better coach than guys who have gone college like Chip Kelly and won games. Now, Peter King, very respected media guy, came on this show a couple of weeks ago. He has his doubts about Urban Meyer.
This guy has been a great coach on the college level, Urban Meyer. He's never been less than three games over 500 in any year he's ever coached. And I just would ask this question, you know, how are you going to like losing in Jacksonville? And I'm not saying you can't win in Jacksonville. You can. But you will undergo significant days and weeks and maybe months of losing. That's just the way it is.
Now, I just don't think it's going to be losing as long as everybody else thinks. I look at Chip Kelly. I look at Kevin Stefanski, who'd never been a high school head coach. I look at Brian Flores. I don't think the NFL and college football are as different as they used to be. And by the way, Big Ten football has never been as spread-oriented as the Big 12. So Big Ten football's power running and defense. That's what he's done everywhere he's been. He's coached a lot of NFL players. I think the first year is going to be a little rocky, but it's a division that's winnable. There's no Patrick Mahomes in that division. There's no Aaron Rodgers. There's no Russell Wilson. There's Deshaun Watson, who wants out of the division. Outside of that, Phillip Rivers, Ryan Tannehill, guys that don't feel like they'll be in their places forever. I think he's going to do fine. I think successful people, as a rule, what they struggle with is patience. That's what Urban's going to struggle with for a year, patience. I don't think he's going to struggle with a playbook. He's a curious guy. He'll figure it out. But you're going to go 6-10, and that's more losses than you've had in one season in your life. In fact, he's never had more than five. So can he just understand a little bit? It's a process. It's going to take a year. I don't think it's that difficult. I don't think we're asking Urban Meyer to lose for 4 years. I don't think he will. Bill O'Brien and Chip Kelly won fast. They've got some good offensive pieces. They get Trevor Lawrence. They got a bunch of draft picks. They got a ton of cap space. I say 1 year in, he's going to be going into a second draft, second free agency period with new facilities. They're going to be a pretty decent team. Gerald McCoy played in the NFL for 10 years. He was a Pro Bowler for six of them. And what Urban Meyer needs is more Gerald McCoys. And his career is not over, and he is now joining us live on a Friday. By the way, so this is interesting. You know Brady very well, and you also know, because you played in Tampa, you know the Saints roster very well. And We're asking the Saints now, Gerald, beat Brady and the Bucs three times in a season. That's a big ask.
It is,
Gerald. Do you think it's... will it be hard to get Saints players motivated knowing they not only beat them twice, Gerald, they thumped Tampa Bay twice?
I don't think it's going to be hard to motivate the players, but I think it is going to be hard to win this game as easily as the outside world is thinking it's going to be. I love the Bucs. You know, I always will, always have. So I went back and watched these games, and the Sunday night game, it was bad. Okay, 38-3, had to call timeout to kick a field goal just so they didn't get goose-egged. But opening day was a lot closer than people think. You know, the Bucs had no offseason like everybody else, but this is a new group, new offense with Tom Brady. They're implementing a lot of different things. So they made a lot of mistakes. But the game was actually a lot closer than people think, and the Bucs are hitting their stride. I think the Bucs, Baltimore, Buffalo, those three teams probably hit their stride at the end of the year and came into the playoffs with the most momentum. So it's going to be difficult for the Saints to pull this one out as easy as people are thinking. And opening day, no Antonio Brown. The second game, it was his first game playing. Now he's comfortable with the system. Let's see what happens.
Very interesting. Ravens-Bills is fascinating. So I've been on the Bills bandwagon for about 2.5 months. That said, I love Lamar Jackson. I don't get the critics. But I do wonder, when I look at Lamar, I do wonder, Josh Allen is kind of the same quarterback leading behind. Even though Lamar won playing from behind, I think he's better playing with a lead. I kind of feel like Baltimore's finally going to hit their ceiling this week, and I'm going to take Buffalo. What do you make of Josh Allen? What do you make of the Bills? If I'm correct, I think you're a Bills fan this year too.
Yeah, I got Buffalo. I actually picked Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl. I picked Buffalo over Kansas City because I just like the Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs dynamic. Josh Allen, you know, I was talking to one of my close family friends the other day, and he said he believes Josh Allen may have made the biggest jump from last year to now with what he's been able to do. And I said, I don't know. I think the biggest jump we've probably seen was probably Lamar Jackson from year one to year two. But Josh Allen has made huge strides. And the reason I picked Buffalo over Kansas City to go to Super Bowl is because Kansas City has been a little rocky. They've been winning, but they've been a little rocky going into the playoffs. They don't have a lot of momentum. Patrick Mahomes hasn't thrown a game day pass in over 3 weeks. And Buffalo, man, they ended the season so hot, and they kept it going, you know, in the first round of playoffs, man. I love Lamar Jackson. I think he's got the most dynamic legs we've ever seen in this league. And if he doesn't turn the ball over and takes care of the ball, they might can pull this thing out. But I'm leaning towards Buffalo.
So let me ask you, your point about Kansas City is interesting. We all kind of consider them, I mean, it's like they've won one Super Bowl and everybody has anointed them a dynasty. And it's like, hey, that Seahawk dynasty didn't last as long as we thought. The Harbaugh Niner dynasty, they never, ever do. Let me ask you, taking time off, I'm sure in your career you got injured or took a week off a bye. Can even a great player get rusty and never get in sync over the course of 3 hours? Do you think that's a real concern for Mahomes in Kansas City against Cleveland?
Yeah, I do. It can happen. You know, I'm not saying it's going to happen. You know, I love Andy Reid. I've always been a fan of Andy Reid, and he's made everybody he's coached better. You take a talent like Patrick Mahomes, arm talent we've never seen before. Probably closest thing is a Dan Marino or Aaron Rodgers, but you take a talent like that and put them under Andy Reid, they're going to be hard to stop. But momentum is real. And going into the playoffs with momentum is real. We've seen it over the years. A team could come in rusty, and even though they're not, the other team is not better, they could play better that day because they're hitting their stride. They have the most momentum. Look at the Giants when they made that Super Bowl run. Look at the Packers when Aaron Rodgers made his Super Bowl run. You see a lot of teams coming to the playoffs with momentum.
Yeah.
They play a team that people expect to win, but they don't have that momentum. And you sit your starters for 3 weeks, they could be rusty. And Cleveland, man, they can run that ball. And if they can control the clock and get an early lead, Kansas City can come back. They're the offense that can come back if anybody can. But if they can control that clock and Baker can hit all his throws on third down, I think this could be an upset.
Yeah. So you go and play in Tampa. It's warm weather. And occasionally, maybe once, twice a year, late in the year, you got to go play a cold weather game. And I look at those soft L.A. Rams going up to Lambeau, 72 degrees in L.A. You tell me, can weather affect, because you were a warm weather player, can weather affect a team in the NFL in the playoffs?
Yeah, weather can, but, I mean, mental toughness is stronger than weather to me. You know, if you got mental toughness, then weather doesn't affect you. It's about how bad do you want it. Now, some team may be used to it, and they may never have to adjust to the weather. But if a team is mentally tough, it may take them a few drives to adjust to the weather. But then it's just football. You know, I wouldn't use the word soft in L.A. Rams as long as Aaron Donald's there, you know, just saying. But I think the Packers do have the advantage in this game. And my three favorite players in the league, Aaron Rodgers, Aaron Donald, and Lavonte David. Unfortunately, two of my favorites are going against each other. But if I have to pick one out of three, I'm not betting against 12. You know, Aaron Rodgers is just that guy. If the Packers can run the ball, then I think the Rams will have a long day because then Aaron can do his thing. And, you know, I just think it's going to be a long day. I hope AD plays well. You know, I know he has the injury, but he's a warrior. He's something we've never seen before in this league. So I'm sure he's going to overcome, and it's just going to be a great game.
By the way, let me ask you about your rehab. You played 10 years. You were a Pro Bowler six. Mm-hmm. Everybody in this league wants a defensive tackle. You're not done playing, right?
No, I'm not done by a long stretch. You know, a lot of people, I've been getting this question, you know, are you going to retire? Are you done? And I'm like, because I got injured? Am I the first person to be 10 years in and get injured? If you ask me, am I done or going to retire? I'm kind of taking it as disrespect, because that means you was kind of thinking I was about to be done in the first place. So instead of getting angry and taking it as disrespect, I'm going to use it as motivation. It's a blessing in disguise. I got a lot left, and now I'm motivated to just show that. You know, anybody who's listening, I got a lot left, and I'm ready to rock.
And you're a good dude, good locker room guy as well. By the way, I don't need to talk about anybody specifically, but I do think NFL and college football, Gerald, look more the same than they ever have. Matt Rhule, Urban, it doesn't matter who it is. I used to be, if a college guy went to the NFL as a coach, I was like, it's not going to work. Increasingly, I'm like, I think it can work. I mean, you tell me, will veteran NFL players struggle with a college guy when they walk in the locker room?
It just all depends on the coach. You know, I was listening in earlier, and you were saying how the game is transitioning. And the college game and NFL game is becoming very similar. That's why we're seeing more Lamar Jacksons.
Yeah.
We're seeing more Kyler Murrays. And because the game is evolving. Now, it's up to the coach. These players want to win. And when you bring in a coach, they're going to initially say, okay, let me humble myself, see what they have to say, and buy in. Okay? It's all about the coach and how they approach the players. You have to understand, you're not talking to kids anymore. These are grown men. You may be talking to a guy like me. I got five children. I've been married 8 years. You can't talk to me any kind of way. You know what I'm saying? But some coaches try it, and it doesn't work. And I think the times where you see a coach who's a great coach in college, it doesn't work in the NFL, I don't think they understand the dynamic. If you talk to these players as grown men, as NFL players, guys who make a lot of money, who have families at home, kids just like you, I think guys would be more willing to buy in. And great coaches can adapt. And when you're a great coach, it doesn't matter the environment, you learn to adapt. And if they can understand that dynamic between college and NFL players, then I absolutely believe that college coaches can be successful in the NFL.
Yeah. Gerald McCoy is a free agent defensive tackle. If you are one of those franchises, could use a little beef, a little intelligence, a little moxie, that's the guy you got to go get. And your rehab's going well. You feel good?
I feel great. And I appreciate you guys having me on. I'm in the middle of rehab right now. I'm working out, but I consider you guys family.
Absolutely.
So I took a break to talk to my long distance cousin, my cousins, Joy and Colin. I love you guys. You know, we're family. We're distance apart, but long distance cousins. Always going to be family. Thank you guys for having me, and I'm feeling great.
All right. 10 years, 6 Pro Bowls. Go sign him. Easy guy to root for, Gerald McCoy. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
There are narratives in sports that I do buy into, like James Harden's game is not going to work in the playoffs. I believe that. I've watched it. I see it. I just don't think you can be that ball-centric and play 100 games over the course of a season. And I mean, I think you, as the late Kobe Bryant told James Harden, man, you got to change that game. You got to pass more. It's a hard game. We've seen Westbrook, the Energizer Bunny, run out of gas. You know, you got to pass the ball more. You got to be a little more LeBron. You got to pass it, give others opportunities. But there are other narratives I don't buy. And the kind of Aaron Rodgers carries the Packers, I think because the way they lost last year and they got mauled and were overwhelmed by San Francisco, we tend to think this team doesn't have a ton of talent. But Green Bay's got more talent, more veteran talent than the Rams. The Packers had 7 Pro Bowlers. The Rams had 2. I went this morning and I put the top 10 players in this game in terms of talent. So Green Bay has number 1 Aaron Rodgers, number 4 Devontae Adams, Alexander, the corner, number 5. Aaron Jones, number 6. Corey Lindsley, the offensive lineman, 8. Za'Darius Smith, 11. So they have 6 of 10. So the 4 Rams are Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, Andrew Whitworth, John Johnson, the safety. But if David Bakhtiari would have been here, the left tackle, they would have had 7 of 11. 7 of the 11 best players, to me, are Packers. So the Rams have some very promising, talented young players. But when you get into guys who have been in the league, and this is what wins in the playoffs, 4 years or longer, these are 27-year-old men, Green Bay's got more good players. Also, Kenny Clark for the Packers, defensive tackle, did not make a Pro Bowl, but he's really good. And the safety, Adrian Amos for the Packers, did not make the Pro Bowl, but he's really good. So if you look at the Packers, in every unit except tight end, quarterback Pro Bowler, running back Pro Bowler, wide receiver Pro Bowler, offensive line 2 Pro Bowlers, linebacker Pro Bowler, cornerback Pro Bowler, defensive line Kenny Clark, about as good as you can be and not make a Pro Bowl. Outside of tight end, every unit's got Pro Bowlers. That you can't say that with the Rams. I think the Rams have tremendous young talent, and I think they have a deeper wide receiving core. But I just don't buy this that Aaron's carrying. There's a reason they're a touchdown favorite, and it's not because it's cold. Packers have better players, and especially better veteran players, and I think they win this game by more than a touchdown.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Aqib Talib played 12 years in the NFL, half the years he was a Pro Bowler. And we were just talking during the break. He's either like 10-3 or 9-4 in the playoffs. He got to the playoffs with the Broncos, the Rams, the Patriots. He got to the Super Bowl with the 2 different Super Bowls. 5 of his 12 years, he made the playoffs. So he's got a ton of experience in the postseason. Aqib Talib is now joining me live from his house in Texas. So let me ask you this. So in all your playoff games, I look at the Rams and I think, oh, they're going to go up to Lambeau and it's freezing cold and they're an indoor team and it's warm weather. Did you ever go to a playoff game when you were in Foxborough? Did you think the lousy weather was an advantage? Did you ever go on the road and playing cold weather? Does weather mean anything in Lambeau to you?
Hey, it does. It does. Weather always means something. You're a dome team and you got to go play outside. It always means something. So it's difficult. It's rough. So it's going to play a part, definitely. It's definitely going to play a part. I don't know what happened with that light right now.
I don't know what happened to that light, by the way. It's let's play with it right here. You got time, man.
Trying to figure it out. You know how them home studios go.
Here boom. Go. Look at that. Boom. So let's talk about I want to talk about Tom Brady and the Bucs. So I don't think they match up with the Saints. I think the Saints have outstanding corners and a pass rush. And I just think it's one of those things where Tom's going to be under some duress. He's going to face pressure. You played in a lot of playoff games. Were there times in some of your losses where, Aqib, you just felt like our personnel doesn't match this team's personnel very well?
Well, usually in our and two of my big losses, it was, God dang, it was me going out, and then once I went out the game, our personnel just couldn't match up with the other team, you know. So I think AB is going to change the dynamics of that, though. That one extra receiver who's basically unguardable is going to change the dynamics. So it might change how the Saints have to play a little bit, you know what I'm saying? So I think AB being in the picture this time is going to change things. Golly.
It's okay. So let me ask you this. Are you surprised Antonio Brown, he goes to the Raiders, it doesn't work. He goes to the Patriots, it doesn't work. Are you surprised that he's gone to Tampa and, frankly, he's better every week? We don't hear from him. He's not in the press. Are you a little surprised he's worked so well with Brady?
I'm not. I know what type of guy AB is, and you know, he just needs that general, man. Once he gets a real general in front of him, he going to be a soldier. He going to get in line and he going to work every day. He works. That's what people don't talk about. They don't talk about how hard he works. So I think it's a match made in heaven, man. Tom Brady works super hard. AB works super hard. And I think just him being out of Miami, just in Tampa, you know, a low-key city, low-key, more low-key than Miami. But I think I'm not surprised, man. You put guys like that with Tom, or Bill Belichick, if you put them with a real, real leader like that, man, them guys always fall in line. So it don't surprise me at all.
All right, Kansas City is a 10-point favorite. You have been a favorite in your NFL career in playoff games. Do you worry that Kansas City didn't play well in the last month, that Mahomes took a bye in Week 17, that they're a massive favorite? Does that concern you at all for the Chiefs?
Usually it don't, but like you said, matchup. So this matchup kind of just concerns me, man. The best way to beat Mahomes is to keep him on the sideline and hunt those running backs, those Cleveland running backs can keep him on the sideline. That Cleveland run game period can keep him on the sideline. So this matchup, it's if you give me 10 points in Cleveland, I'm taking Cleveland.
Yeah. You know, it is interesting. Mahomes didn't have a great December. You would think, like, you were a great corner. Did you ever have a bad month? Like, it just it's funny that, like, Mahomes is great, but he did not play well in December. It is, do players get into slumps?
Players definitely get into slumps, and sometimes your break comes at the right time. So that's why this game is kind of confusing, because like you said, he didn't have a great December, but then he had time to take time off. Let me reset. Let me get my body healthy. And, you know, just that reset button, it does wonders sometimes. Like for Lamar, Lamar had a chance to, you know, the COVID. God gave him COVID. It made him sit down for 12 days or 10 days or whatever. You get to get healthy. You reset. Then he come out on fire after that. So players have slumps, man. Sometimes you need a two-week break just to reset and get out of that funk. And who knows what Patrick Mahomes is going to come out this weekend.
All right, Baltimore plays Buffalo. Tell me what it's like to face a running quarterback. What will Buffalo defenders sense and face?
Trouble, man. It's trouble. You almost don't want to play man coverage against a running quarterback because, you know, once he breaks that first level, it's almost like an automatic 10 yards or whatever. So you kind of dictate defenses with a running quarterback. And it's trouble, man. Lamar is on fire. He's one of the hottest players in the league right now, in my opinion. And you know, he got a chip on his shoulder. He had to get that first playoff win, and you know he want to get a win versus Josh Allen, man. That's almost like, you know, that's his competition in that class. So you know he want to get this win. And he on fire right now, man. So it's going to be tough to stop him.
I think he throws the ball better than people think. When you watch it, how do you think he throws it?
I definitely think he throw the ball. I think he throw the ball so good that he almost want to be a straight pocket quarterback. But I mean, you God gave you those legs, so you can't be a pocket quarterback. You got to use those legs, Lamar. So I think he throw the ball so good, it almost make him want to throw the ball too much.
Green Bay is a better team. They have more good veteran players than the Rams do. Rams have Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey, but there's a lot of very good young Ram players. When you went into playoff games, did you feel your experience mattered? Having been there before mattered?
Definitely. Experience always matters because the jitters you get, your routine. I mean, some guys, you get in the playoffs and now you want to do this whole new routine because you think you got to be over-prepared or whatever. But once you've been there before, you know what I'm saying, you might think differently. Like, that's any other game. Let me just stick to my routine or whatever. So experience definitely matters, man. Guys get nervous. You do certain things when you're nervous. I know my first playoff game, I was super nervous. I showed up 4 hours early. My routine was all the way off just because I was nervous. You know what I'm saying? I'm in year five. I've never been in the playoffs. So I thought I was doing something positive when really I threw off my whole routine and I felt like I ended up getting hurt because of that. You know what I'm saying? So like, I got massages and stuff and the lady kind of put a knot in my hamstring and then asked me, yeah, I'm telling you, a little bit later on, boom, that same spot, it bothered me. It bothered me the first playoff game. It bothered me the second one. By the AFC Championship game, it popped on me. You know what I'm saying? I did something that I don't do. So experience definitely matters.
Yeah. Do you miss – I know you're glad you're retired. You had a great career. When you watch the playoff games, is that when you miss football?
Nah, when I get a FaceTime by Reggie, the head trainer for the Rams, and AD and Jalen and all those guys are, you know, having fun in the training room in the locker. That's when I miss football. But when I watch the game on this weekend, I'm I'm enjoying it, Colin. I got a, you know, a cold beer, some popcorn. You know, this is my Achilles feel good. My back feel good. So I don't miss the physical part. I just miss the camaraderie, you know, and I miss that part. So I'm a fan. I enjoy being a fan of the game, too. This sitting back and watching, I really became a fan of football again, man. I got favorite team in NFC, AFC. So I just enjoy it.
Yeah, I love watching you play here. You were physical, man. Were you a trash talker?
Oh, yeah. I talked from first quarter to fourth quarter, definitely. Not really trash, though. See, I'm more just being myself, though, Colin. I had conversations with guys throughout the game. You know what I'm saying? Some guys get disrespectful. It turned disrespectful conversations. Sometimes it's cool. It's, you know, pro conversations. And I had great professional conversations with guys all day long.
Really? You had actual nice conversations with wide receivers during games, professional?
Definitely. Like, for example, like we played Cleveland as a Rams. We played Cleveland, and I was mic'd up. You could hear me and Odell talking the whole game, and it was cool. We was laughing. He, oh, Keeb, I had you right there. I said, oh, AD saved me. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, you know, casual. We laughing. We joking. It's just good conversations, man. That's a perfect example. If I can get the live footage from the game when I was mic'd up with, oh, because I listened to it the whole game, the raw footage. I listened to it. So that was a perfect example, man. That's great. Two pros competing and talking a little noise at the same time. So
I love that.
Definitely.
Aqib Talib, former great NFL defensive back, going to get a lot of Hall of Fame votes. Good talking to you. We'll talk soon, my man.
Thanks, Colin. Sorry about the light, man. You know, I need a producer. I need a home producer here, man, so we could get this thing in order.
Yeah, but you know what? You did a good job. You had to kind of ad-lib your way through it. I thought you were excellent. Nice work.
Appreciate it, Colin. Take care.